I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation this evening. Revelation chapter 3. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, I'll read out loud. You follow along silently. I'm just going to read here in chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. And tonight I want to highlight another word that just kind of, again, these things just kind of come to me and I'm like, wow, I need to pay more attention to these words in this book. I hope that that's the case as we go through that tonight. Here we are in verse 14. I'll read it again out loud. You follow along silently here in Revelation chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And that is exactly the word that I would like to bring to your attention. A-M-E-N. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. You hear it said multiple times, right? Even during a church service. Folks may speak up and say, amen. Hey, hallelujah, right? And that's a wonderful thing. And in our Baptist churches, It's a word that's often used, and it's something that we need to make sure we kind of really focus on what the Bible has to say about this particular word. And I chose this passage of Scripture as the text because it says here, Jesus, if you will, says to John, he is speaking and says in verse 14, he says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. That's one of the titles of Christ. The Amen. So, and I got to thinking about that. I was reading that and I thought, man, we say Amen, you know, about a lot of things. And by the way, I'll read to you the definition here in just a moment. That's what the word means. It has a meaning of what we use it for. We're not using it incorrectly. But when Jesus says, I am the Amen, I think we ought to give credence to what exactly does this word really embody. If Jesus is going to give the word as a title of himself, then we really need to wrap our heads around it. Maybe not just casually say, but we ought to, with some knowledge and with some understanding, use the word. And so, very quickly, two things that are said in Webster's Dictionary about this word, Amen. As a verb, it signifies to confirm, to establish, to verify, or to trust, or to give confidence. Okay, that's what Amen means as a verb. Okay? As a noun, it is truth. It is firmness. It is trust. It is confidence. So as a noun, it's those things. So if Jesus says, I am the Amen, he already said that in the Gospels. I am the truth, or the way, the truth, and the love. I missed one. But he is the, that's who he is. So that certainly fits. And Jesus is firmness. He is trust. He is confidence. He is truth. I mean, how else do we know about salvation than in the steadfast, foundational idea that Jesus Christ is our salvation? I mean, what other stronger evidence or whatever stronger thing do you want to trust in than him? He is the Amen. As an adjective, Amen means firm or stable. And then it said this interesting thing. It says, in the English, after the Oriental manner, it is used at the beginning, but more generally at the end of declarations and prayers, in the sense of be it firm, be it established. Okay, so the word Amen is used over 70 times in our King James Bible. Okay, so there's a lot of verses to go through. And many of them are at the end of something that's said in Scripture. They say, Amen. Okay, in other words, be it firm or be it established. Okay, so when we're saying Amen, it is in agreement. It is to confirm. It is to establish or to show some form of declaration, if you will, that this is what we believe. And that's why it's important to know that Jesus Christ is the Amen. And I say the for emphasis, because before a vowel, you're supposed to say the Amen. All right? That's another one of those English things that, whatever. So I got to thinking about this and how it applied to my life and then what I was reading in Scripture and how I thought of Jesus Christ. And if you think of him as the Amen, I'm going to go into a little bit of a information about this church. In another time, in another place, we may go through these churches because this is such an interesting passage of Scripture here in Revelation. And when Jesus Christ is talking to these churches, he's talking about them as his, right? We're talking about the bride here. And he's dealing with them specifically. And this is the only church that is listed the way they're listed. He says in verse 14, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. That's a really interesting thing. Because none of the other churches are mentioned that way. Not Ephesus, not Philadelphia, not Sardis, not Thyatira. None of them. They're not listed that way at all. In the other ones, they're listed of the church in this place. Or the church, but this is the church of these people. You understand that we're supposed to be the church of Christ. It shouldn't be the church of the people at Wiley. Because it's his church. And maybe that's why he said, I am the Amen. He said, I'm your truth. I'm your foundation. I am your firmness and your confidence, not yourselves. He goes on to say, hey, you're lukewarm. You're wishy-washy. And I don't want you in my mouth. I'm going to spew you out. This is something that we have to think of when we use these words and we think of these words and when you're reading through Scripture. I know you get to an end of a phrase and you see Amen and you just kind of gloss over it. We don't really pay attention. What are they affirming? What are they confirming? What are they establishing? What are they verifying? What are they making sure that this declaration or this prayer is firm and established in the lives of these people? And why didn't they say amen after every verse? Why did they pick these verses or these passages to say amen after? Well, there's some reasons for that, and we need to pay attention to it. I mean, I guess you could, in the course of a message, say amen to everything that I said, if it was truth, of course. I wouldn't want you to say amen to something that wasn't truth. And remember, I did promise when I became your pastor that I would always tell you when something was my opinion, okay? And I don't expect you to amen my opinions, all right? But scripture, I mean, that's great. So what is it about this word that we should pay attention to? So very quickly, first of all, let's pay attention to the amen concerning God's law. So many of these amens that are established in Scripture, you can find in Deuteronomy. As Moses is giving out the laws. Now, I would encourage you to go home and take a look at Deuteronomy 27. The word amen is listed many times here. This is just one of them toward the end of the the reading. Moses was giving out the laws of God and these things, and he was talking about some blessings and some curses that God had ordered in the lives of the Israelites. So here in verse 26 in Deuteronomy 27, it says this: "Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen." So he's saying, hey, you're going to confirm these things. You're going to say that these are established in your life. You're going to say that these things are firm in your life, and you're going to say, Amen. And if you don't uphold it, you're going to be cursed. You're going to be, it's not going to be good, right? There's a punishment, there's a negative attached to this, because you're affirming that I'm going to confirm all the words of this law and do them, and he says, and all the people shall say, Amen. You understand that God's law and God's commandments, God's statutes, we've gone over this many times. They are very important. And they need to be firm. They need to be established. There needs to be a trust and a confidence. There needs to be the stability of the Word of God and the law of God and the commandments of God in our lives. In Psalm 78, David writes, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers." You say, what do you mean? "Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen." He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. You know what that is? That's talking about a group of people that are yea and amen to God and his law and his words. When I say amen, I'm saying that's what I believe. That's what I'm standing on. That's what I'm firm on. And guess what? When we say, hey, amen, thou shalt not, thou shalt, thou, amen. We ought to live this way and walk this way and be this way and talk this way, because that's the establishment. That's what's firm in our lives. That's what's truth. That's where the confidence is, because we say, hey, amen. And then guess what? We do it. We don't just know it. We don't just hear it, but we confirm it and we do them and we say, amen. And we teach it to our children. And guess what? They know that it's amen in our lives. They know that God's law is God's law. You know, one of the things it just needs to be for my children. I just want them to live their lives by biblical principles. But I've got to be an example. I've got to live my life by biblical principles. And look, if we're gonna say amen, if we're gonna use this word, then we need, it has to be firm, it has to be established, it has to be at the end of a declaration or a prayer saying, it is, and it is established, it is firm in our lives. It's amen. Remember, we've talked about Psalm 78 before. The whole reason for all of this that about amen that's so important is that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. That's it right there. So amen is a very important thing when it comes to God and His law and His commands and the things that He has ordered in our lives. Remember, we talked about Psalm 19, that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's an amen moment when we just say, God, your law is established in my life. God, your law is firm in my life. Your ways, your commands, your statutes, and listen, folks, they are not grievous because He is our God and we are His people. And it just ought to be amen for you. Thou shalt not steal. Amen. Thou shalt not covet. Amen. I mean, come on. It just, that's, we ought to grow to that place where amen means something for us concerning God and His commandments, His law, His statutes, His testimonies. Because they're more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Another thing that I found in Scripture as I looked at this word amen, many of the times that the people of God said amen was after they were rejoicing and glorifying and praising God. You know what? It's always good to do that. And that ought to be something that's firm and established in our lives, that God alone gets all the glory. He gets all the praise. And that's what we ought to say amen to. In 1 Chronicles, it says, and say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. That's a great time to say amen. And it's a great time to say amen when you're in accordance with His word, in accordance with His commands, and in accordance that those things are established in your life. And it's a great time to say amen when you're praising God. When you're giving Him the glory and the praise and the honor that He deserves. In Psalm 41 it says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. It's so good they said it twice. Again, in Psalm 89:52, it says, blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. In Psalm 106, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, amen, praise ye the Lord. That'll get exciting. When you're confirming and establishing the glory of God. He's glorious. He's our God. He deserves the glory. In Philippians, Paul says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, again, they don't say amen after every line of scripture. They're emphasizing something here. What are they emphasizing? The glory of God. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Guess what? That's where it is. Hey, furthermore, in Revelation, in chapter 7, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and worshipped, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. I mean, what an amazing sight. I mean, think of how descriptive John was being in this moment around the throne of God. In Revelation 19, he has another account. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, alleluia, salvation, and glory, and honor, and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. There ought to be a lot more amen in our life having to do with the glory of God. Forever and ever. You know, it's amazing that once we think about this, we really understand the usage of the word better. We really contemplate what we're saying when we're saying amen. And I'm for saying amen in church. I think it's a great thing. But, you know, sometimes it can get a little bit silly, I guess, or carnal. You know, just everybody shouting amen all the time and the pastor can hardly get a word in, right? Could you imagine reading scripture if amen was after every verse? I mean, okay. So do you see the importance of it? But Jesus said, I am the amen. And amen ought to be something that's prevalent when it's concerning the commands of God and the law of God, but also concerning God and his glory. And then the last thing, again, there were over 70 accounts of this word amen in scripture. But the last thing that I noticed that was very prominent is when they were talking about Jesus Christ, they would say amen. Many times in Paul's epistles, many times as John here, we'll read a few here in Revelation, is talking about Jesus Christ. Many times they end it by saying, amen. and 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul is writing, and he says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. In 2 Peter, Peter writes and says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Over in Revelation chapter 1, when John is first experiencing this revelation, he says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. This is a word that Jesus used. In Revelation chapter 5, it tells us again about Christ. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elder. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now, I'd encourage you to try to work out the math on that one. That's a lot. Okay? Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, you guessed it, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And if you'd like, in closing tonight, you can take your Bibles and turn to the last verses in Scripture. In Revelation chapter 22, John writes and says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Guess what's there? Amen. And John says, even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And what's the last word? Amazing. You know, it's funny how I've read that over and over again. And I probably never gave credence to how important that word amen is in my life. And I hope that tonight, because of the things that you've heard, because of the scriptures that you've experienced and seen, amen might mean a little bit more to you tonight than it did before. Because you know what Jesus said? I am the amen. John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Jesus said, surely I come quickly. Amen. And John ended the whole thing saying, amen. Let it be so. Let it be established. Let it be firm. Let it be in our lives, this thing of amen.